And we find this idea taken up in the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha has quite a lot to say about fetters, because fetters are just the opposite of freedom, the opposite of vimukti. And the Buddha has a word for fetters, a very significant word in Pali and Sanskrit, and it is sangyojana, roughly translatable as fetter or bond. And there's quite a number of these. And I want to say just a few words about the first of them that we encounter and that we have to break if we want to make any progress at all on the spiritual path. The first one that the Buddha speaks about is what he calls Sakaya Drishti. Now this isn't easy to understand. We have to interpret rather than translate. Literally it may be rendered as something like fixed personality view. It's the sort of fixed view we have that we are this or that we are that. We identify ourselves as being this or being that. For instance, we think that, well, I'm French or I'm Indian, and we identify very strongly with that. That is us. But of course, it isn't just as simple as that. There are other identities that we have. We have an identity perhaps as a parent. We have an identity perhaps as an artist. So we think, well, this is me. And because we think that, well, this is me, we tend to hold on to it. We tend to stick fast to it. And it tends to limit us. So this is fixed self-view. And because we have this sort of fixed view of ourselves, it's sometimes very difficult to change. Because the fixed view militates against the possibility of change. So we have to think of ourselves as being able to change. We have to have, as it were, one might say, a creative attitude towards ourselves. That we have to have the belief that we can create or recreate ourselves as we wish. Remake ourselves. A little while ago I came across an interesting book with the interesting title, The Man-Made Man. Has anyone come across this? The Man-Made Man. So what is the man-made man? The man-made man is the transsexual. That is to say, the person who, by means of surgical operations and hormone treatment, effects some kind of change from his or her former sex to the opposite sex. So the man-made man. I was especially interested in this book because many years ago when I was in Kalimpong, someone who had undergone this sort of change, in his case from female to male, actually came to stay with me at my vihara in Kalimpong. And this was the first time that I'd come across this particular phenomenon, which nowadays I gather is not uncommon by any means. In fact, I believe we have a few transsexuals in the FWBO itself, which just goes to show, of course, our Catholicity, one might say. So I remember having a number of conversations with this particular person and trying to find out what it was that had made her want to be a him. So I came to the conclusion that yes, this was a rather, in a way, perhaps unnatural way of bringing about change. It seemed rather forcible, it seemed external. I felt that it was not so much the body that had to be worked on and changed, it's the mind, it's the consciousness. And of course, we change our mind, we change our consciousness in all sorts of ways. And one of the principal ways, of course, is meditation. Through meditation, we can transform, we can transmute our ordinary, everyday consciousness into something higher, into something more sublime. So this is the first fetter that has to be broken. The idea that, well, we are what we are, and that's what we are, and that's what we're going to stay as. That sort of attitude. But even if sometimes we think or say that we want to change, we want to develop, deep down there is very, very strong resistance. Radical change radical transformation is not nearly so easy to effect as many people think. So once you decide really to change, radically change, you have a battle on your hands. And that is what the spiritual life, in a way, from the Buddhist point of view, is all about. This radical change, this radical transformation of consciousness and will itself.